Welcome to the RD2B podcast. Each week, we sit down with a different registered dietitian nutritionist to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the dietetics profession. Our aim is to dismantle the notion that there is a traditional career path. I'm Carl Barnes, the registered dietitian behind the scenes of RD2B.
And I am Jenna Warnock, the RD2B host. Our RD guests share their stories, career paths, and advice to help students like us succeed in the profession.
Welcome back to another episode of the RD2B podcast. This is our weekly podcast where we sit down with a different registered dietitian each week to showcase the diversity of opportunity in the profession. We're really excited for a unique episode, a special episode today. We're sitting down with Dr. Susan Finn, a very accomplished dietitian, and we're actually going to be discussing her new book and the Nutrition Authority Perspectives on Opportunity, just released. Available for purchase, both ebook and physical copy. A quick bio about Dr. Finn. She's a recognized leader and respected communicator in food, nutrition, and health. As an advisor to professional societies, educational institutions, government bodies, and industry professionals, Dr. Finn brings context, nutrition research, and its implications. With a bachelor's of science in education from Bowling Green State University, Dr. Finn earned a master's of science in public health nutrition at Case Western Reserve University and a PhD in nutrition science from The Ohio State University. Dr. Finn headed nutrition services for the Ross Products Division of Abbott Laboratories, now Abbott Nutrition. She was the chief architect behind multifaceted campaigns to advance nutrition support, particularly for women, the elderly, and those at nutrition risk. Dr. Finn served as president of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the world's largest nutrition and dietetics practitioner organization, and also was chair of its foundation. Dr. Finn remains deeply involved in championing dietetics professionals as nutrition authorities. Recently, Dr. Finn has focused on strengthening the authority of registered dietitians as the profession moves into its second century, effectively communicating food and nutrition science and exploring the intersection of food, nutrition, agriculture, and sustainability. I think we could go on about your accomplishments, but really excited to be asking you more about the book.
Biased.
and I'm going to pass it off to Jenna to kick off the questions.
Awesome. Yeah. And my name's Jenna, your RD2B. And so, Dr. Finn, what was your motivation behind writing Nutrition Authority?
One of the first questions you're always asked when you write a book is, why'd you do it? And believe me, when you start to write a book, you ask that of yourself, why did I ever get into this? Now, this was book, when I wrote it, was five times bigger than it was. And then you begin to say, what really is my message here? And that's a discipline. I think we've all had, as we've written papers, as we've given presentations, you've been a student and you're working on a paper, you have that experience. But I wrote that to share my passion with our profession. And hopefully it's contagious. I hope we have a lot of passionate educators, a lot of passionate professionals. And I hope that everybody experiences that kind of passion and begins to set a vision for where they may want to be. That is why I wrote this book, based on my experiences. And it's my views, by the way. You can argue with any one of them. They're my views. Second question?
And then I have a quick question when it comes to kind of cutting the things off. So do you want me to restate the question so that we can weave it back in, or do you want us to keep it standalone?
You do whatever you want to do.
Go ahead and just do the follow-up on that one, Jenna, of the why now.
Okay, gotcha. And why did you decide to write Nutrition Authority now, especially in this day and age of dietetics?
Well, I think we're at a key point. You know, if you look along our trajectory of where we are, nutrition has never been more important. And we had a lot of people entering into the field with a variety of opinions, variety of backgrounds. And I think it's absolutely critical we keep in front of that and we demonstrate really our authority and our knowledge base. We're a science-based profession. We use science. That's why I wrote this book at this particular time.
I agree. It's very timely. And I particularly love your inclusion of the historical perspectives as kind of a history buff. And I've always been fascinated by the history of our profession. So for newer dietitians or students, how important do you think it is to have some grounding in our
very important. And it isn't that like we were all taught maybe when we were really young, dates, memorizing dates and timelines. It's more looking at the big, what they call big history. What happened there and what can we learn from that that will help us today? And I can see some things take a long time to come to fruition. The classic example is it took 71 years for women to pass, and for people, for us as a country, to pass the 19th Amendment permitting women to vote. 71 years, that's a long time. We have an example of the length of time it takes to get reimbursement for our services. Think about it. We have come a long way. We've been working on that for 50 years. It didn't just come to our plate. We know how important it is. And it is absolutely critical right now because nutrition's moved into the spotlight. It's our time now to get that reimbursement. We made progress, but we need every one of our members working on that. You'll get notes from the Academy how important it is that we tune in, you contact your legislative person, absolutely your policy. Keep in touch with that because one person doesn't do it. It's united that we do that. So that's why I love history. And some things, Jen and Carl, happen fast. You know, one classic example of that is in business, they always say, you know, that window's open. You go in when it's hot, when the topic's hot. We've experienced that with COVID. You know, it's a very hot topic, probably less so today than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Everybody was tuned into everything, including nutrition. That's a little bit Wayne. It's an example where you feed the hot hand. You get your message in. So you need the short-term hits and you need the long-term strategy. And that's why I like history so much. You can learn from that. Read about it. You can learn from that.
And it's awesome how you go really in depth in specific chapters about the history and why it connects to the present and why it's good to just reflect and think about the past and also learning from the past and then seeing how it can help in the present. And so specifically targeting students and those reading the book, how would you advise students to promote their authority? Because we have a lot of imposter syndrome rolling around and we're all very driven students, but sometimes we don't really have our own authority in ourselves. And so what advice would you give students?
As the best thing for students is preparation in your science. I don't care what your career goals are. As a nutritionist, as a registered dietitian nutritionist, you have to know the science and look at that chapter. You know, the history chapter is not going to change a lot. The science chapter isn't either. It is about guidelines. It is about evidence, about what's going on to make sure you've got that science-based core. That's what distinguishes us. And it's so important that we give that evidence, we give that science. We have that knowledge and have that facts, and we can't shortchange that. We also need to understand how important it is to be trusted and respected. And those two things come hand in hand. When you're communicating knowledge that's based on evidence and science that's based on evidence, you have to remember people are trusting you. You ever lose that trust, it is very hard, if not impossible, to get it back. We've experienced that in our societies. Trust is important. That's why how you communicate that science, particularly to patients or consumers, have a debate in our professional circles about what's right and what's wrong, what the study's like, what it doesn't show. Have that kind of debate. But when you're talking to patients and students or the news media, let them know this is what you know now. This is where the gray area is we may not know. But you know what? This is what, as a registered dietitian nutritionist, I recommend you do. Leave yourself. Science is changing. My friend here at Ohio State, excuse me, the Ohio State University, Ken Lee's head of food science, and he says, you know, we ought to teach people science is a process of discovery. And the more we know, the more we'll adapt our message. But how important is we give that message? We cannot communicate as this is it, and it's the end all, and it's definite. We have to make sure people trust us. So preparation and trust, absolutely two key inseparable parts of being a nutrition authority.
That makes so much sense, and it's never too early, especially as a student, to be working on those communications.
Oh, it's your best time. And you know, afterwards, you just continue to hone in on the science, and you've got great resources to do just that.
Very true. So with all the people that you spoke to in the book, you spoke with some amazing registered dietitians, Was there a common theme that kind of arose that you may not have expected?
I don't know if I didn't expect it, but the main theme that every, and I only put in certain things that they told me that fit in with the chapter, but the main thing they told me, and this is for the people as well, but we're not registered dietitians, people like Jim Hill, people like Roger Clemens, a food scientist, people like that, on some of our honorary members, make sure you're not alone, your partner. Link up. I don't know how many times you've heard that in your education as students. I know as professionals we have. No one goes alone today. If you're in a business, you see it, read any of the, and in daily newspapers, joining forces with the others that have access to the people you want to reach. That is the very best way to put your message out there in the market. You cannot do it alone. And, you know, one of the things that I found extremely helpful, and that's reflected in the book, how important it is, the Academy is as a partner. The Academy was absolutely essential to my career. I relied on their advice. I called them. I used the resources. I trusted their judgment. And most of the time, I've got the answer I needed to follow through. So that is the first, you're entering into a profession that has networks. We value networks. Every leader I know, every educator I know wants to do all they can to help grow the next crop of professionals that lead us into the next century. So networks and partnerships, absolutely critical.
Yeah, and it's also great to mention how students can take advantage of the Academy to start their networks early in that with DPG.
Absolutely, Jenna. It's absolutely essential. I could tell you a song and verse. I remember very distinctly when I was a graduate student at Case Western. I was in Chicago doing an internship, and I wanted to go to the Academy's building. I was scared to death to walk in that building. I was in awe of that. I'm in the center where these people that really carved out our role are. And I tell you, you walk in there and you get to know people, and they're like everybody else you meet that you don't know. But they care deeply. And your success is the Academy's success. And the Academy's success is your success as a profession. So you'll notice through the book, I sometimes talked about you being the dietitian and sometimes talked about the Academy. To me, they're just inseparable. That's how I think we ought to see it. Your success is theirs and theirs is yours.
Mm-hmm. Definitely seeing it as a symbiotic relationship is crucial, no matter where you are in the
Absolutely.
Profession. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about your career in the profession, was there, and I mean, you did describe your experience going into the building in Chicago, but was there a pivotal moment you realized your role in promoting your authority in dietetics?
You know, I was brought on at the Abbott Nutrition at a time when we were developing Ensure. We were just in the development phase. That's how long ago it was. And I was brought on to be the dietitian. Now, I hadn't been in the field very long. I had a PhD, but I didn't have all the experiences. I had a lot of networks that I'd grown up in. And I remember growing into that role. I thought, well, they're going to depend upon my message about dietitians, and I'm going to be a dietitian, and that I'm going to par excellence. And I studied it, and I knew the people. And I went to the Academy meetings. I did everything I can to immerse myself in that role. Now, gradually, I expanded into other roles, but that was my very first assignment. And I remember then years later, they'd say, well, we're not going to do this. We're going to call Susan. She'll know what to do. This is going to dietitians. And there were then many other dietitians working there. But somehow I got that reputation of being that authority. And it was because I focused on it. Focus. That's the aha moment for me.
That's a pivotal moment.
And I never aired any dirty laundry about us. It was always positive. You can talk to a fellow dietitian about something you don't like, but never do it to others outside. That's my rule.
That's a very good rule of thumb. So it's really incredible. And I've always been inspired when we look at what has been accomplished in our profession's first century. So what is a core message you think RDNs should embody to promote success as we're moving into the second century?
Well, you know, that third, you know, if you look at the book, there are three chapters, three pillars. One's history, one's science, and one's future. And the future of where we go. First of all, our future, who knows where it's going? Who knows? But it's expanding. And food's always going to be important. Nutrition is going to be important. And we're integral to both of those, all of those things. We have great flexibility in what we do and breadth of what we do. The first thing I did when I wrote that chapter was to read the report that came out of the summit that we did right before our 100th anniversary. That's available, Carl and Jenna. You can get it through Nikki. It is worth a real good look because they have 22 different categories of opportunities. And all of those are exciting. You could pick any one of those. Some of them are very high tech based. Some of them are food based. Some of them are ag based. Some of them are business based. That's where I think we're going in the centuries ahead. I think we're going to be honing in on some of these, and we're going to have a lot of diversity in what we do. Whenever I hear, gee, you know, dietitians aren't paid enough. Well, come on, that's your job. But, you know, you have to get out and expand your role and expand the growth opportunities. And they are there in buckets. You have to create them. You're not going to find them in a want ad. You may find them online. Somebody's seeking something. And that's a good start as young dietitians coming out. But then you grow from there and your networks take you new places. And I can tell you that's exactly what people that I interviewed did. That's exactly what I did. You start somewhere that you can grasp a hold of. You get your reputation and then you move forward.
Yeah, and I think
recommend that. I would recommend you look at that. Look at the people I interviewed. Jim Hill tells me you should own the obesity market. Roger Clemens, food scientist, says, for gosh sakes, know something about food. Help those food scientists know something about nutrition. And David Mitchell, a strategist, a political strategist, says, go and look at the food councils that are in cities. Hook up with those so they see the opportunities there are for our members. And volunteer as a young student. Get out there and start looking at those opportunities. And you'll know real soon if that's kind of an area that you want to pursue.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And kind of what you mentioned about expanding the role that you're in and kind of diversifying what we do in the profession. I do think, and we've talked about this before with like advocating for yourself and kind of putting yourself out there with what you said for students, young dietitians, anywhere you are in the profession. And so you yourself are a very inspiring and proud advocate of the profession. And so what ways do you think students and early career dietitians can be advocates for themselves and the profession? Both, and we did mention it with imposter syndrome, like inward, but also outwardly in how they present themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. What you want to do is when you speak, you're starting out. When you speak, you want to be grounded. Nobody expects you to be perfect. You're young, you're coming out, you're going to make mistakes. But what you want to do is when you come into a meeting or into a group, you want to be as based as you can on what you know and what the topic is, what the objectives are. Seek counsel from those to whom you report. Understand the environment that you're in. Don't just go in. Having been in business, nobody goes in unprepared. We all went in, particularly if you're new, prepared, of what is expected out of it. And don't be the first one necessarily to speak. You know, you don't have to be right out there with your views. Get a little feel for where the subject's going. And then, you know, give your view and make sure it's your view. And make sure you do it in a way that's lets everybody know that you're a team player. I mean, you don't want to go bolting in like, hey, by the way, that's really wrong. And here's the four reasons. Now, nobody would quite do that. But there's a harshness that can come if you know something and you know it's wrong. Care in how you say it. You know, that's one view. That's one option. But let me tell you what I think some other options might be. Be very trustworthy, respectful. That's the moral side of being an authority. And you work on that, you grow into that. That's my view.
That's excellent advice. Very, very poignant. So we know there's this increasing need for inclusion, diversity, equity, and access, both with the populations that we serve, but also within our profession itself. So I'm curious, where do you see the opportunities for both authority and leadership?
Well, it's the same for everyone, Carl. I am so supportive of diversity. Diversity, broadly defined, certainly by culture and by race, we need many more. Look at our population, it's changing dramatically. It's time we hear people's views based on their views of where we are. I think we ought to be focused on diversity of age. Not everybody wants to be young. Not everybody needs to be old. There should be a mix of things, mix of different cultures, mix of different job preparations. The better we get at that, the better and stronger we're going to be as a unified voice. No question, we need diversity.
Definitely. And kind of one question that I would have in lieu of that question, do you have any advice for young dietitians or RD2Bs in trying to put their best foot forward with increasing diversity? Because, for example, we can't necessarily control the diversity of the people in our class, but when it comes to reaching populations or the future of the profession, do you have any advice in ways that we can impact the diversity?
The number of diverse students that come in, is this what you're saying? Yeah, we need recruiting efforts from those that are already in there. I think it's everybody's, we're going to be so much stronger. Our voice is going to be so much more credible if we have different viewpoints, different backgrounds, different kinds of people representing us. I think students can play a big role. Faculty can play a big role of reaching out in your communities where you have students. It's everybody's job. It's just not the person that decides who's going to come into the program. And it's everybody's job to really look at a bigger pool of people that can make a difference and that have different interests and different backgrounds.
Definitely, because you can pull from those different strengths that people have, yes, and that overall, yes, that just makes, yes, everything.
And, you know, and I can tell you, I think our DPGs, in the academy, are really such a strong supporter of that. They're very diverse in what people do, and they're trying very hard to be exciting, because people love the DPGs. They're very excited to get diverse students in. And so the door's open. And it, again, it's diversity broadly in my mind. All kinds of people with all kinds of backgrounds. It makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting to see where we can go in the second century, for sure.
Oh, it's just, you know, people would say, well, I know one of the questions you had, what do you do when a dietitian doesn't want to be a dietitian? What do you do when they don't want to enter the field? I can't imagine it. You know, when you look at other health professions, OT and PT, and there are many opportunities for them too, but I don't think anything like a registered dietitian. I mean, when I came out, it was hospitals, and then it became healthcare, home care, nursing homes. That was kind of, and still 2/3 of our members are in that category. The other third and growing is in retail and public health and government, all kinds of new different things. And, you know, if you look at top CEOs of corporations and what their majors were and what they graduated, who knows? They come through all kinds of ways. The president of my undergraduate college was a voice major. And so you can be anything. You can be anything. This is America. You can be anything as you climb up. We have a number of our members that are provosts of universities that have been a president. One of my friends, I was in my PhD with Judy Bonner, was president of the University of Alabama. I mean, you aren't held to any category. It depends on what you want. And we have much within our traditional role that's also extremely important.
And it's great how you kind of touched on the last question that we wanted to cover with, you know, those students that are kind of having doubts as, I mean, it seems like this profession is just getting a little harder to get into with the master's degree requirement and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's the evidence of the knowledge base needed. The knowledge base needed, I mean, pharmacy has done that for years. They've recognized they've got to have an entry-level doctorate in pharmacy in some of their places. So, you know, it's what's happening in society. We have to have more credentials. It's very complicated. And we have to have people that understand the science, understand metabolism, understand biology and physiology. Those things are only highlight and elevate the profession. We never want to dummy anything down. You raise it up, and we're raising it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely is raising it. Oh, for sure. And for the students that are maybe finding that extra step of having to expand their knowledge and grow their knowledge to a master's degree or just completing and getting to that RD credential, do you have, and you did kind of touch on it, but do you have any profound pieces of inspiration or things that they can pull from if they ever have doubts or are just kind of like, I can't do this, I don't think I can do this? Do you have any pieces or words of wisdom that they can kind of hone in
profound.
On?
Profound. You use the word profound, Jenna. You know, there are so many places to help. Where would I go if I felt that way? I guess I would go, first of all, to my faculty. It's somebody that's on the faculty to whom you have admired or respected or have a good relationship with. That would be the natural person to talk to. And let them, A, kind of settle it down, calm. You got in there. You're a good student, or you wouldn't have gotten in. Now, what is it that's disturbing you? Is it the sciences? Then you can work through this. I'm certainly struggled through statistics and other things. I didn't want to do that either. But you know, you can get through things if you approach it methodologically. And if you have somebody that kind of can help you along the way, help you with tutors, help you with better understanding, groups of people, groups of dietitians. I don't know how, do they still do journal clubs in places anymore, Carl and Jen? Do they? Those were always so helpful to young dietitians coming out. Just talking about that study. What is it that you liked about it? What did we need to know that we didn't know about that? That's the kind of dialogue we should be having. That's the kind of debates we should be having professionally. So I think there's ample hope. I think it's done one-on-one first. And then there's so much help out there in academic settings to give students that kind of help. Most generally, it's a lack of confidence. Then you say, well, I don't like this. Well, you won't like a lot of things, but we have to, you know, buckle under and do it. What can we say? The end's worth it because it's a fabulous profession. And if I were going to do it all over again, I'd do the exact same thing. I think that there is no place that you'll get the attention and the importance of what we do for health other than dietetics. It's absolutely the bottom. It's the foundation of which many things are built. So you're fortunate to be in a field like that. That's how I feel about it.
That's an excellent endorsement of the profession. And Dr. Finn, we can't thank you enough for sharing your thoughts with us and us promoting your book for those listening. Hopefully a few of you.
And the money all goes to the foundation for scholarships. So there you go.
And we are all grateful for you for doing that. I think that's such a tremendous move, and it shows your dedication to the profession and the future.
So, you're a talented group.
So we thank you.
Thank you
all. The rise. Thank you.
Thank you so much.